And welcome back to the Voices of Biotech podcast. My name is Millie Nelson, editor of Bioprocess Insider, and I can't wait for you to listen to this month's episode. As you already know, this series is focusing on all things green in the biotech space. And today we have a really interesting conversation with Quentin Vicard, Director of Strategy and Alliance Management at Core Biogenesis. We hope you enjoy listening and keep your eyes peeled for next month's episode.
Just as a starting point for us, it'd be really interesting if you could give us an overview of why Core Biogenesis was started and why you put sustainability at such a focus.
Yeah, this is a great question. So the company was founded in 2020 by two co-founders, Dr. Shoaib Mediali and the CEO, Alexander Riber. And it was created in order to be able to provide a new way to produce recombinant protein. And Dr. Shoaib Mediali had a lot of expertise in plant breeding and DNA development around plant and molecular biology. And basically bringing these two person together, they managed to create a startup called Biogenesis on producing a recombinant protein based on plant and trying to do in a fully innovative way and not exactly at this, the way it has been done previously by other plant manufacturing company. So the idea in a nutshell is to use a plant which is called the Camelina sativa. And it's a plant which has a really quick turnaround time. And this plant has the capacity to produce a huge amount of protein in their seeds. And we are using this technology in order to push this plant to produce a lot and a big amount of this recombinant protein within the seeds. That's the way Core Biogenesis was created and funded.
Amazing. I mean, you discussed there kind of some of the benefits, but I was wondering if you could delve in a little bit deeper on the benefits that Core Biogenesis feel plant-based processes have, whether that's, you know, reducing time, cost, but how that really works in a day-to-day setting at the business.
Yes, so that's a good question. I think there is a lot of advantage of working with plants. The first one is like if we're trying to compare to a conventional process based on E. coli or based on a mammalian cells, you will have all the upstream based on bioreactor and then all the downstream, which is in general pretty cumbersome because you have to do all the step one by one and it's pretty challenging in order to get to the purity where you want. When we use the plant and the plant we selected can, as I say, bring the protein of interest into the seeds, and meaning that once we develop the plant which has the capability of producing the protein of interest, is like we can scale it up directly to open field, which is already the case. We plant already in four different locations at three different seasons, and meaning that we have a huge amount of data to show us that we can really scale it up to really large amount. So meaning that in terms of cost of good and cost of manufacturing, we can definitely decrease heavily the cost of manufacturing of this protein simply because the scale we are targeting is much higher. So if you can imagine that a bioreactor for E. coli would be, I would say, we start from 2,000 liter, it can go to 10,000 liter. But for us, we have no limitation of field, so we can go to several hectares, hundreds of hectares, and then meaning that the starting material won't be any more a problem. And obviously linked to this in terms of CapEx investment, when you see that a clean room is heavily expensive, and then you will have to build to make sure that the clean room is, I would say is answering exactly your need. You have the bioreactor, you have all the water pipe system, all the cleaning and also the decontamination system in place. Then it's like in all case, you don't have all of this. So meaning that you're reducing completely the upstream cost from a bioreactor based system to a plant based system, which are completely depending on sun and water, basically. So that's the first key differentiator between the two. And then in terms of purification, we are using a plant which is an oil plant, an oil crop. And this is really helpful for us in a way that we use the oil as a vector of transport of the protein of interest, meaning that we can purify heavily already the protein thanks to the oil contained in the seeds, meaning that our purification process is much more faster and much more, I would say, efficient than a conventional process. So right now, if you compare, it's like we can say that almost we can divide probably by a factor 2 to a factor 10 the also the downstream processing. So meaning that at the end, the upstream costs much less. The downstream is also cheaper, not completely to the extent of the upstream. But in terms of cost, that's already one key point. Then obviously there is the sustainability, which is the second key aspect. We are using plants. So in terms of impact on the environment, it's much lower because obviously the carbon footprint of plant is much lower than the carbon footprint of a bioreactor. So we are developing all of these. We are running currently a full LCA in order to really make a full comparison. So keep posted, and we will definitely post this on the network and to have everyone be aware of that. So the sustainability aspect. Then in terms of safety, also it's pretty interesting. The plant offers several safety benefits over traditional production method, and one of them really relies on the lack of human and microbial pathogens such as endotoxin, which obviously reduce the risk of contamination and ensure the safety of the produced protein. And at the same time, we have also unique post-transactional modification in plant-made protein that can, to some extent, simplify the purification process compared to protein produced in our system. And then maybe, it's like as we are going through all the benefits, is probably the assurance of supply, especially coming out of the COVID crisis that we all face, where there were a lot of issues with the supply chain of a lot of different medication and especially raw material. In our case, the fact that the protein is produced in the seeds, we can produce a massive amount of batch size, meaning by several tons of seeds, but we can process them at demand. So meaning that if you have a given customer that wants, for example, for his full clinical trials or for a full production of several years and want only one given batch of protein, then we could do this, and we are probably the only one on the planet to do it that has this capability. So that's probably the main key advantage of the plant-based protein compared to conventional manufacturing, but also thanks to the specific plant we selected.
Lots and lots of advantages there. I'm just wondering, where do you get the oiled seed plant from?
So basically, at the beginning, it's Camelina sativa. It's a pretty conventional plant. It's used already heavily for the oil of the Camelina is used heavily in the cosmetic industry, and also to some extent for food, for animal pet food. And so the Camelina is pretty well, I would say, conventional. So it's like we just need to know any seed company to provide us the seeds, and then from a different variety. And then what we're doing, we compare the different variety which are existing today, and then we use some of them in order to genetically modify them in order to express the protein of interest. And we have a specific patent also to overexpress the protein by using silencing mechanism within the plant and within Camelina in order to overexpress the protein of interest. So no, we have our own seeds, and then we have our own growth chamber in France where we develop basically the plant first. And once the plant reach what we call an homozygote state, we move them to open field.
So interesting, because, I mean, like you said, it's different to the traditional methods. But also I think that sometimes when you hear things, even though being in this science space, the plants can be used in so many different indications. You know, you just said cosmetics there, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but obviously with every benefit just in life in general, but especially in the science space, we see that something can have a lot of benefits, but that's not always without challenges. Could you give us a little overview if there are any challenges that Core Biogenesis have found with working with plants?
Yeah, obviously, like I would lie to you if I would tell you that everything is always an easy way. As every startup, we have some challenging. The cost of development of molecule is always more, I would say, expensive than what we plan. The time to reach the perfect purity is always more difficult than what we plan. Maybe a few challenging I can disclose here will be that having the same level of expression pending the protein we want to express is relatively complex, and it's really dependent protein to protein. So sometimes it's causing us some challenges. And then another challenge we can say, but we are tackling it pretty heavily these days, is the regulatory framework, especially on the cell and gene therapy side, because, you know, the industry today is relatively conservative. And then it's like when they know one way to do is like, why would they change? So the sustainability aspect is one thing, but it's not sufficient. So when we have the sustainability, the cost, the essence of supply, then they want to change. But then they start to challenge us a lot on the regulatory aspect. What are the impurities? What are the treatment on the plants? What can be brought by the plant, which is not existing on a conventional bioreactor, and all this kind of thing. So that's why we are putting a lot of effort of understanding in detail what is basically the things coming in and what's coming out, and analyzing in real and high detail by mass spec and all this kind of tool that we have access to in order to perfectly analyze and understand what is in your final product?
Yeah, I mean, with the regulatory aspect, I think everybody who's doing something that's maybe slightly against the traditional method, they run up in these issues because there's not a full ecosystem at the moment kind of created to push these new ways of doing things along, which I can imagine can be quite frustrating. But there will probably be that one moment where something will be validated and then everybody will turn to it, kind of like what happened with mRNA at COVID. And then it will be the standard norm that people start doing this a lot more. So I appreciate your comments on the regulatory side of things. You mentioned there, obviously, you have a space in France where you're carrying out some of this work. And I know that when you launched with your Series A funding, that was based on, you know, a facility build out and upping the staff count. I'd be interested to hear if there's any information on that side, but also to bring it back to that sustainability and working with plants. Has Core Biogenesis found that trying to hire people or find a talent pool of people who can work with these materials, people who maybe have always worked in the traditional methods and then you're having to retrain or reintroduce to them, like, we're actually doing it this way, has that been easy, hard, or have people been quite keen to kind of get involved in something slightly new?
So two very different questions, and let me try to
You should have put them in two different sections.
no worries. So regarding the first question, right after the Series A and a lot of additional non-dilutive funding, we managed to really ramp up the production capability. So we managed to bring internally a full growth chamber where we develop all those seeds, and we have more than thousands of different seed line different with a lot of different construction that we are pushing to really see which one will be the one that we will bring to open field with the pollinator of interest, but with the genetic modification that we need also. And then we are building also a full classified suite for really the production and the purification of the material. And right now at the second where we're talking is like the building is almost finished, and we will enter next month into the qualification, because the goal for us is really not to stop at the research grade material, but really to go to GMP. So that's why we manufactured and we do this under all the ISO norm and all the classification around the cGMP rules. So that's really what we are getting after. So we managed to get the ISO 9001 certification this year, which was a really first great milestone. Now we have the growth chamber and very soon the clean rooms. And in addition to this, you may have seen that we signed a very interesting partnership with Nucleus Biologic to us moving faster to the cGMP aspect, because we really want to bring the recombinant protein from plants as a new norm and not as an outlier. So that's the first part of the question. Do you mind reminding me the second part?
Yeah, of course. I was just asking, you know, with the Series A, there was obviously mention of upping headcount at Core Biogenesis on the back of the funding. And I was wondering, one, where you're at with that, but two, whether you found it difficult or easy to recruit scientists who are keen to work with plants. Like you said, it's a new norm. Is this something that you're having to create new training around, or are there people in the field who already have that experience on plant-based processes?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I think right after the Series A, we increased quite a lot the number of people within Core Biogenesis. So we are now at 35 people approximately, 35 to 40 people, depending if we count all the consultants and so on. The idea right now is to keep the momentum and continue growing, but we have to be also careful about expenditure, like every startup, because the funding time is slightly different than what it was back in 2021. Nevertheless, we are in a really good financial position, so we are not that worried on that aspect. On the second aspect, on recruitment, it's indeed slightly challenging, because here we are asking to some extent to have at the same time some plant expertise, and we have a lot of people which are called plant breeder and plant expert, but at the same time we need also some protein expert, which is not that easy. And on top of that, we need some of cell and gene therapy expert to really understand what is the need of the customer. So that's basically one of the challenge we are facing. But so far we are really happy with the people we have, and we are more than happy to always receive new candidates. So yeah, if any wants to apply or to send us a resume, we are more than happy to consider it. But we are definitely building, we will build stronger and stronger, and we will need more and more people. That's that's for sure, because we have a really, really aggressive plan for 24, 25 and so on.
Exciting. You have to keep us updated with the news that comes out this year and next year going forward. Thinking just in terms of where you're based, obviously in France, I asked Joel the same question, but I always find it quite interesting. Are there particular geographic areas or locations that you're seeing people, cell and gene therapy companies, more keen to try plant-based processes or learn more about them?
Yeah, I think there is two part of the answer here. There is definitely where is the cell and gene therapy market today and the bioprocess market. So definitely I would say North Atlantic is probably where there is the most important pool of biotech, so US, Canada. Europe overall is relatively good. There is UK, but there is also Germany, France, Belgium, which are doing relatively well, but it's still lower than US, Canada. And there is also all the Asian market, which is pretty keen and moving probably much faster than all the rest of the world. Regarding now the adoption rate of more sustainable practice, I'd say I'm not sure there is one country which is much better than another. There is obviously the Scandinavian country, which are always a bit more keen about all this rule of sustainability. Nevertheless, it's more company to company dependent. And I'd say that the sustainability aspect, and that's kind of a shame, but that's the reality today, is not sufficient by itself to make someone change the norm. So that's why we have really to come the sustainability plus the cost reduction plus the assurance of supply. And all of this embedded into a really good safety package makes it very attractive. And right now we see really good momentum in, say, North America, Europe, and also to some extent Asia, where we have to be stronger and stronger. Long story short, we really want to tackle all the market. We do think that the center of excellence is still France, but as you know, planting GMOs in France or in Europe is relatively tricky. So we are doing this in over part of the globes. It does not mean that at some point we will not open any other subsidiaries, probably in North America and maybe at a later time in Asia. So that's definitely something that we have in mind.
And obviously, like you just mentioned there, that idea of tackling all the market, that comes also with what you mentioned about regulatory standpoint. You have to have that kind of validation for people then to be more willing to adopt these new norms. I can imagine that companies, even if they're interested and respect the process as something that could work, until it gets that validation overall, then that will really kickstart people, I think, to being like, this is something really quite easy to move into. You obviously discussed there a few of the future goals of Core Biogenesis and potentials to move into different geographical locations, but also market.
And so I was just wondering, you know, considering that Core Biogenesis is a relatively new company, what the goal would be for the firm in, let's say, 5 years?
The goal for CoreBio really today is really to scale up the production. So that's number one goal, but is also to extend the portfolio. So right now we have few molecules, but we need to expand to have more molecules in order to address more markets. So now the growth of stem cell, but also the differentiation of stem cells. So we are part of a lot of consortia where we will help them to develop some key molecules for deep differentiation of iPSCs especially. But here, on top of that, is like we will get open field on different molecules. And we will need also to start having more sales traction. So we see that academics is starting really to ramp up. But once we have GMP capability, we hope to see also clearly a ramp up with more biotech and clinical guys using more and more our growth factor. And then hopefully, like, we can also target cause or platform can really produce any kind of protein. We can really target a lot of other market where we have on top potentially the cosmetic. We are looking also at food biotech and potentially at a later stage in 5 year timeline, some therapeutic aspect, but we have a lot to do. So let's learn step by step and keep the focus. But as soon as we are taught to have really strong market traction and generate revenue and being cash balanced, I believe we can open a lot of new doors, because the platform we have is kind of gold. So we will definitely try to make the best use of it.
You mentioned there about moving into food biotech, I think I heard. We've seen a lot at the moment about this cultured meat market industry that seems to have grown, and lots more and more people are looking at it, whether that's in the news, but it's kind of become something that people are discussing a lot. And we've seen a few firms that are in the biotech space turning to this or adding this to their services because there's some similarities in manufacturing. You mentioned obviously this is something you might move into. Would that be a similar process to what you're already doing, or would this be something completely different?
Yeah, I think it's like we know and we start to know relatively well both markets. Is obviously there is a lot of I would say similarity between the two, but the end goal is kind of very different because one's try to reduce as much as they can the scale, where the other one wants to scale up to the maximum. One is extremely all about the safety and quality, where all the other one is about the cost. So that's why it's relatively challenging for us to tackle both markets. But luckily, it's like the molecule they need could be very, very similar, and then we could. We can hit several points with only one stone. So meaning that we can address different markets and we can address it both markets with several molecules. Our key focus is really basically all the bioprocessing market and biotech market, but does not mean that we don't have also is like a small specific target on the food biotech market, simply because as of today, we believe that we have the most scalable platform in hand, especially at the scale they want to go to 200,000 liters that we will never see in the bioprocessing scale. And they want to really heavily the cost. But obviously, the QC from a QC perspective, we'll have to be slightly careful that if we want a price to be low, we have to make sure that they don't request extremely high quality with all the QC testing that someone in the stem cell industry might need, simply because otherwise you cannot really match the cost. So that's always basically the duality. But long story short, the good news is as it's the same molecule and most of the company in the culture meat are using stem cell derived cells or immortalized cell line, but which are using the same growth factors as conventional cells into the stem cell industry. It's like we can definitely target both markets. So we have clients already in the sector too.
That's really exciting. It sounds like, I mean, Core Biogenesis startup, but clearly a lot of things in the pipeline. I'd like to offer it now to you, Quentin, if there's anything you would like to mention that you think I haven't touched upon that's really important to Core Biogenesis and their processes and their contribution to being more sustainable.
I wanted to add that sustainability is really at the core of Core Biogenesis, not only because we are using plant, but we try to push this much more than only this, because the plant is obviously the way we produce, so it's definitely helpful. But we are running the LCA. We are targeting to get some specific green certification in 24. We are looking and we are evaluating our carbon impact every year. We are looking at reusing more and more sustainable materials. So we are working closely with Green Elephant Biotech to use their product. We are trying to work with Nucleus Biologic, which have their specific system via Stoic Bio called Krakatoa to develop something more sustainable. So I really want to bring the sustainability as the core of the mission of GoBio. So obviously we want to solve a problem of the industry cost wise, but I think the sustainability will definitely play a very, very important role, because at the end, sustainability has probably much more impact on all of us than the biopharma itself. So that's probably the first point I wanted to bring. And then the second thing is, like, I can only call the people to say it's not because it's new that it's much different, and it's just a question of taking some time to look at it. And we have a lot of proof that the product we are producing are as good, if not better, than all the competitor. So we are starting small, as always, but we will grow big, and we have really strong ambitions. So better come with us. That's the only thing I can say.
Amazing. And that was a really important point, I think, that you just made about keeping things at the core, but also that idea of, you know, you're constantly reevaluating and looking at how to do things better and more sustainable to get the best product out at the end. And I think in sustainability in general, that seems to be one of the key things, is you always have to be reevaluating, looking at the data, going back so that you can measure and see what the difference is that you're making. So thank you for raising that point. I think that's everything from me, and I just want to say a big thank you for coming on Voices of Biotech to discuss Core Bio.